important that he prays this and how it's relevant for us today. So in John chapter 17, we're going to read from verse 11. It's actually, well, dit gaan eventually, there we go. I'd like to read it and see bietjie van julle perspektief af, hoe lyk dit volgende. We're going to read from verse 11 to verse 15. Are you ready this morning to receive, church? Here we go. I'm going to, my sister. And Jesus says, I'm no longer in the world. So he's foretelling, listen, God, Jesus, he's saying to the Father, I'm on my way out of here. I've done what you wanted me to do in these 3.5 years. I'm on my way out of here. I'm no longer in the world. But these are in the world. Everybody say, we are the these. I am the these. He was praying for us, okay. But these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name. Everybody say, keep. It's important. We're going to look at that. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition. Let's speak about Judas. Please start the timer for me at the bottom there, gents, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Next verse. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Jesus, we are so honored to have your word at our disposal this morning. We can choose where and how we want to read it, in a physical Bible, in electronic form. We can even have it played into our ears without us even reading anything, Lord. We don't take it for granted, the countless lives that people have willingly laid down just so that we can freely gather around your word this morning. Father, honor your word in our presence, Lord. You promise that you're watching over it to perform it. And we declare with you that it will achieve the purposes for which you send it forth and will change our lives, and it will not return to you null and void. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Verse 11 to 15 teaches us the important principle that the redemptive power of Jesus Christ in our lives saves us from the consequences of sin, but never the presence of sin. Think about that. He says there in this passage, he says they're in the world. And he prays for us in the world because Jesus knows that because of his sacrifice, he's going to die, he's going to be raised, his shed blood is going to be there too, so that we can repent and ask for forgiveness, and we'll be set free from the consequences of sin. Mits ons belei. So in ander woorde, jy maak droog, jy gaan voor die Here en jy sê, Here, vergewe my. Ek verdien nie genade nie, but you give it to me anyway. And now I'm free, Lord. Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as from the east as from the west, you've removed my sins from me, Lord. And you quote the scriptures that say, Lord, the things you've forgiven me of, you don't even remember them anymore. Lord, you've forgotten my sins because Jesus has paid the price. When you look at me through the blood of Jesus and I'm forgiven. But we still in the presence of sin. All around us, all the time. Remember that we live in fleshly bodies that want to sin all the time. So people, can you see the, ons is in a penari, so to say. Wie verstaan nie wat a penari is nie? Penari is it's a very, very difficult situation. You're in a mess. You're free from the consequences of sin, but not the presence of sin. En mense, wanneer ons dag tot dag in so 'n situasie onself bevind, that leads us to a place as Christians where you hear Christians say this, but Lord, why? Can anybody relate to what I'm saying this morning? So, on the one hand, you have this promise of deliverance and salvation, and on the other hand, you're living in the very presence of sin, moment by moment by moment, all the time. And when we have the collision of these two truths in our lives, Christians ask, but Lord, why? Why, Lord? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do the evil prosper and the good just suckle? Although Jesus said nobody is good. And that's what we want to teach this morning. Jesus prays for us to enable us to cope through these times where we experience these difficult situations. And remember, we, like I said, we live in bodies that by nature are sinful, but Jesus comes to set us free from that. And Jesus says in John 8 verse 36 that if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that's what this is about this morning. This in my hand. For the longest time, many years ago, I believed that because we in the presence of sin all the time, and because my born-again spirit with my mind that's being renewed by the Word day by day, but I'm in a sinful fleshly body, that I'm always going to be a slave to sin. I believe that I'm going to be a slave to sin. In other words, I'm going to continuously all the time have to deal with this heavy, heavy struggle of fighting against sin all the time. All the time fighting against sin. Instead of getting to a place where I can enjoy my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I believe now I'm a slave to sin because of this. Jesus has paid the price to redeem me from the consequences of sin, but the presence of sin is something that I will always have to deal with my whole life. I believe that for the longest time. I believe that I would be a slave to sin. And God gave me revelation from His Word and showed me how we can experience victory like that in our lives. How many of you would like to experience that kind of victory in your life? How many of you have something in your life, you're bound by this thing where you're a slave? And I used this illustration to show you, Mensa, slavery was, I wish I had a balls and chains, yeah, that I could put the balls on my feet, yeah, and drag them around and chains that tied you up all the time, that you can see that you wrapped up in balls and chains of slavery. And that's what it was like. And the devil held me captive there, thinking, Moz, this my yo lot and he lever, because your body is sinful and sin is all around you all the time. And then I got to see that there's truth that set me free from that. The Apostle Paul explains this in detail, and we see how God, through this man's experience, shows us how we can work through this, how God can deliver us from this, how we can have victory in Christ Jesus through these things. And Paul has a very brutally, brutally honest look at his life. And he shares this. The Holy Spirit bends this through him. He shares what he goes through, and we're going to learn these lessons this morning. So my encouragement to you is, my brother, my sister, please be honest with yourself this morning, and let the Holy Spirit speak into your life and show you areas in your life where you have these exact same challenges. Are you okay with that this morning? I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, and then we're going to unpack a little bit. Romans chapter 7, from verse 15. Paul says, you can pay attention. You don't have to scribble notes down. The notes will be available on the Real Life Ministries group, as well as your care group leaders will have the notes available to you. If you want to write it down, you're more than welcome to as well. But just receive from the Lord this morning. Romans chapter 7 from verse 15. Are you ready? The rest of you, are you ready? Here we go. I'm all gereed. I'm also ready, Lord. Paul says, I don't really understand myself, for what I want to do, what is right, I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. How many of you can relate to the apostle this morning? Verse 19. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. How many of us have made empty promises? Lord, if you just answer this prayer, if you just give me this breakthrough, if you just give me this, Lord, get me through this, I'm going to do. And then before you know it, you're back to square one. In fact, you're past square one. You're at somewhere a lelike plek. You're square zero, Leon. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. Nou mense, hierdie is nie die teksvers wat jy kan gebruik om vir die spiekkop te sê, dit was nie ek nie, of sê, the devil made me do it. You can't do it. Because sin only has power in our lives when we cooperate with it. Can you say amen? Nobody, not the devil, not God, will ever force you to do anything. We cooperate with it. Okay. So he says, it's sin. It's the sin living in me that does it. He realizes that there's this strong, strong presence in his life. Now let's be real with each other. There's not one of us this morning that can put our hands up and say, we don't have to deal with the power, the presence, or the consequences of sin. Not one of us. Not one of us. All of us have to deal with it. But you might say, no, but Mozzie, I'm a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any was in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have gone away. Behold, all things have gone, have become new. Yes, but there's still the presence of sin in our lives, and I'll explain to you a little bit later. I've discovered this principle. So the NLT says, uses the word principle, but the New King James uses the word law. He says, I've discovered a law of life. In other words, it's there. This da. We can't get away from it. He says, I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Does that sound like somebody you know? Namely, yourself. When I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what's wrong. Anybody else, or is it just me here this morning? Please be honest with me this morning. Be honest with yourself. He says, I find this law, I find this principle of life, that when I want to do wrong, when I want to do right, I find myself doing something wrong. Ten minste een keer in jou lewe. And he says in verse 22, I love God's law with all my heart. In other words, he knows what the scripture says. He knows what's right and wrong in God's heart, in God's eyes. He loves God's law with all his heart, he says. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And he says in verse 24, now he gets real. Now he gets real. And church, my God's prayer is this morning is that we get to this place this morning where we be brutally honest with ourselves and real. Not with our Christianese and our kerk mindset in ons is a heilige klomp, whatever, that we be real with ourselves this morning. Are you okay with that, family? He says in verse 24, he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. You see, he gets to see the severity of this and how despondent and how hopeless it actually is. He says, what a miserable person I am. Who will flee me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And I want to pause there. And I was at that place for many years in my life. I gave my life to the Lord. I gave my heart to Jesus and the rest of my life. I'm living flat out for Jesus. And yet daily I have the struggle against this thing called sin. Its presence, its power, and its consequences. I'm safe from the consequences of sin because of the price that Jesus paid. But its presence and its power all around me. In fact, this born again spirit of me is living inside this sinful temple that just wants to sin all the time. This flesh. And I was at this place. I'm miserable, Lord. I don't know what to do with this, Lord. What do I do with this? And God changed that. And he says in verse 25 is the answer to all of this. So he explains where he finds himself. When he wants to do good, he does bad all the time. And he says, I realize, Lord, I'm miserable. What do I do? He asks. And in verse 25, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. The Holy Spirit can give us constant victory. Listen carefully, church. The Holy Spirit can give us constant, lasting victory over the presence and the power of sin in our lives. The consequences has already been paid for. This week I had a conversation with Brother George about an issue that came up. But oftentimes we get to a place in our lives where we ask ourselves, Is this right? Is this wrong? Listen to how powerful God's grace is. According to the new dispensation of grace in the Bible, and the Bible says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. Men anavura, I can do whatever I want, any. Lawrence, I can mark as what I mark, because there's grace. I say, all things are lawful for me, because I'm no longer under the law of sin and death. I'm under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. All things are law. I can do whatever I want because there's grace. I can sin and I can repent and I can receive forgiveness. But it says not all things are beneficial. That's what can happen. So, in life, because of the power of grace, you can say, oftentimes, it's not a question of what's right or wrong anymore, because Jesus has already paid the price for everything that's wrong. Is this truth or isn't it? Somebody speak to me, please. Hasn't Jesus paid the price for elke sonde wat ons reeds gepleeg het, Chris, en dit wat ons nog gaan pleeg in die toekomst? Het die prijs betaal daarvoor, nee. Nie net vir die mense die tyd, maar vir die hier en die nou. He's paid the price. So in other words, strictly speaking, I can do anything I want to because there's grace. But not all things are beneficial. So, the question we should ask ourselves is not a question of is it right or is it wrong, because Jesus has paid the price. The question is, that which I'm doing, is it going to bring life or death to me or others? That's the question. Is it going to bring life or death to me or others? Because sometimes in life, it isn't just a question of, is it right or is it wrong? The question is it going to bring life or death to me or others? And that's why the scripture says there's sin leading to death and there's sin not leading to death. Because there's sin that's unrepented of that leads to death, and there's sin that you repent of that doesn't lead to death. And only the Holy Spirit, when we submit ourselves to Him, the Holy Spirit can empower us to live in constant victory over the power of sin. Romans 6, verse 16 to 18, it says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Whatever you choose to obey, you become the slave of that which you choose to obey. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Verse 17, thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin and you have become slaves to righteous living. I love the language they use there. Paul speaks about this and he uses the image of slavery, because in the same way that slavery, the negative kind of slavery, your master would entrap you. You couldn't eat, you couldn't sleep, you couldn't drink, you couldn't pee, you couldn't you couldn't do any of that, provided you were subject to the restriction that the chains had over your life. You were bound by these chains. And in the same way, when you come and you let yourself be set free by the law of liberty in Christ Jesus, just as much as those chains keep you wrapped up in bondage, the freedom and the liberty that you have to live life under grace in Christ Jesus frees you up. You're just as bound and just as captive to those benefits as you were to slavery. And Paul, he prays this in these passages of, in the letters that he's writing to the book of Romans. He says, who will deliver me from this body? Who will deliver me from this body of sin? Now, what he's talking about there, some commentators submit that what Paul is referring to here is this. Listen, some tyrants, some cruel dictators, some harsh taskmasters, they would force their captive slaves to be tied to the dead body of a person. Think about this. You see how beautiful the scripture is. They would force their captives to be tied to the dead body of a person. The dead body would be tied to the person with these chains. The decaying, rotting, diseased-filled, maggot-eaten body would start to affect the living person, and eventually those diseases would kill the person. Can you see the imagery here? Paul realizes, folks, that this is what sin does in our lives. This is what the presence and the power of sin does in your life. You're tied to this old fleshly nature that continues to war against the things of God and eventually causes death in your life. And he says the answer is in Jesus. Jesus sets me free. He breaks the chains. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You set free in your spirit because it's born again. You set free in your mind when you realize the truth in Scripture. You set free in your body where you can walk in divine health that the Holy Spirit brings to your body. When you're free in Jesus, and Jesus and Jesus only can set you free from this. And that's what's exciting about this passage in Scripture. He tells you about these things, the sinful nature. Slavery, uses an example. Chapter 7, he speaks about how real it was in his life. And then chapter 8, he gets to the victorious part. And he ends off chapter 7 by giving the answer in verse 24. He says, but the answer is in Jesus Christ. He came to know Jesus Christ. Remember this man's experience. He was like a mafia boss. He would order hits on people and he'd watch it happen. He'd participate in it. He'd approve of it. He'd require and get the permission from the authorities of the day to have the Christians taken out. That was this dude, Paul. And then one day, God sees his potential, because God knew what he created Paul to become one day. Like you sitting here, God sees your potential. You're going through a difficult time. You think you're a mess. You probably are without Jesus, just like me. I'm the biggest mess in this church. And God sees your potential. And he sees the potential in Apostle Paul. And he meets him face to face. He meets Jesus. And Jesus knocks him right off his high horse. Letterlijk. He knocks him off his high horse. He's like, what the heck now? He says, who are you? And he says, I am Jesus, the one that you're fighting against. I am Jesus. And he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then he gives Paul the commission of his life. And his whole life, Paul has these two questions. He wants to know, who are you, Lord? His whole life, he wants to be more and more and more intimate with Jesus. What he learns about Jesus inspires him to want to know more about Jesus. When he learns more about Jesus, he wants what? More of Jesus. And his whole life, Paul has these things. Who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? That's why Paul is at this place in his life. He knows how he was. He knows what happened since he met Jesus on the road. He was never the same again. And since then, he knows that only in Jesus can he experience freedom from this sin. Only in Jesus can he get rid of those chains. Can he get rid of that dying, stiff, decaying, diseased-ridden body. Only in Jesus, my brother, my sister, can you experience lasting. I'm talking lasting victory over sin. Now, I know none of you have this issue, but I had issues of recurring sin in my life. I'd come for repentance. I'd go for counseling. I'd go for deliverance. Man, I'd go for anointing. I'd go for whatever. And it'd be fine for a while. And once that while was gone, waar ek myself bevind, net daarso. Again, a slave to this habitual, repetitive issue of sin in my life. Till God showed me this. Till God showed me this. And that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. Paul is brutally honest with ourselves. So we understand what happened in verse 6, right? In chapter 6 of the book of Romans. He uses the whole slavery example. Then in chapter 7, he's honest with himself. He says, guys, this is what I find. I find this principle in life. I find this law. And chapter 7 ends because we get to chapter 8. Chapter 8, how's it, my mate? Chapter 8, we get the dear Brock. We get the answer. We get to the place where you and I can live today. And I thank God. I say I thank God by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. But also, my role was having to be obedient, Leon. Ek moes gehoorsaam gewees het. Because as mighty as God's grace is, and as powerful as the Holy Spirit is, if this little individual called Mozzie does not cooperate with that, folks, you're not going to live in lasting victory. That's the role that you have to play. What do you have to bring to the table of this thing called a successful, prosperous life in Christ Jesus? All you have to bring is your brokenness and sin and doubt and unbelief. That's all you have to bring, and obedience. You just give God that. I said, you just give God that. You just give God your obedience, church. And that's what's going to happen. When you choose to obey, Kaka, the Holy Spirit will empower you and enable you to do things that you never dreamed possible. Do you know what the anointing of the Holy Spirit means? It simply means where God enables you to do something that is otherwise humanly impossible. That's what the anointing of the Holy Spirit means. Is where the Holy Spirit, when you let Him live from the inside out, enables you to do things that are humanly impossible. Provided we are obedient. All we got to bring to the table is our doubt, our unbelief, and our sin. And obedience. You add that, you watch Jesus do the rest, my boy. You watch Jesus do the rest. You live a life like you never dreamed possible. How do I know it? The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind has even conceived anything like that which God has prepared in heaven for those who love Him. And verse 10 says, but the Holy Spirit has revealed these things to us. So when you get to a place where you choose to be obedient, church, how are you doing this morning in terms of obedience? Don't tell me. Talk to God. I can't fix you. Only Jesus can. Hoe lyk jou gehoorsaamheid vir oggend geliefde? Hoe lyk jou gehoorsaamheid? How does your obedience look this morning? And then the beautiful verses of Romans 8, and I'm starting to land this thing now. I'm bringing this bike into the pits for a tire change and a refuel, and have the visor clean before we go out for another few laps of life. Hallelujah. I'm pricking myself excited here, man, because it's a wonderful place to be, in a place of victory, man. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, he says, So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So now, because you're in Christ Jesus, Jesus, through the power of the working of the Holy Spirit, can keep us safe from the presence of sin all around us. Only in Jesus. And that's what makes it so beautiful, church. I hope and I pray that this is encouraging you this morning. Perhaps you're at a place, maybe you're not struggling with these things now. Maybe you are. I don't know. But at the very least I could do is tell you what I went through years ago. And it's a wonderful place to be, in a place of lasting victory. Lasting victory. Where you don't have to be a slave of sin. And don't let the devil lie to you, say, dis jou lot in die lewe. Jy leef dan, jy's 'n geredde, wedergebore gees, 'n geestelike wese wat in die sonderlike liggaam leef. Dis maar jou lot in die lewe. Jy gaan altyd daarmee sukkel tot die Here jou kom haal. Nee. We can experience lasting victory here and now, provided we're obedient and cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God. We can live in lasting victory. So Jesus prays for our protection in John 17 and verse 11. That's what he prays. He says, I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them through your name, those who you have given to me. And in essence, what Jesus is praying is, Lord, keep us. Jesus has prayed this prayer, and he continues to pray this prayer, keep them from the power and the presence of sin in this world that they're in, because I'm going to be with the Father. Father, I'm going to be with you, but they're going to be left here in the world. They are going to have to deal with these things, but not on their own. I've given them my word. I've given them my life. I've shown them the example. Heck, I'm even sending them my Holy Spirit to remind them of everything that I've taught them. They're never going to be alone, Lord. They're never, ever, ever going to be alone ever again. I will comfort them. I will be with them. I will never leave them or forsake them. There's going to be times where they're going to wander. There's going to be times where they're going to doubt. There's going to be times they're going to feel so alone in the world. So alone. There's people, and I know there's some of you here this morning, you're surrounded by people all the time, but the depth of your loneliness is profound. You know who you are. You're surrounded by people all the time, but the depth of your loneliness is profound. God wants to say to you this morning, you're not alone. You're not alone. You've got the Father, you've got the Son, you've got the Holy Spirit, and you. That means you're an overwhelming majority in the world, come what may. Take courage in that this morning, church. You're most certainly not alone. Traditionally, this time in the world, December time, come the festive season, the holiday season, Christmas, or whatever you want to choose to call it, the suicide rates escalate higher than ever before. Because the devil reminds people of lies that they've chosen to believe about loneliness and hopelessness and despondency, etc. That doesn't have to happen. That doesn't have to happen. You have the one that sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And Jesus protects us from these things. And we speak about religion. I had a conversation with somebody that's part of our family right now. And this man used the word, I'm not religious. I'm not religious. I said, I'm not talking about religion. I'm just talking about common knowledge. I'm not religious. So there's only five times in scripture, the Bible, years ago, when I was a detective, they used to say to me, so I hear you're a religious man. So I said, no, I'm not religious. Yeah, but this and then because I was talking about Jesus to anything and everything that moved. Okay, so they say, so, yeah, that you're a religious man. I say, no, I'm not. And then they have a confused look on their face and say, I'm not religious. I have a relationship with Jesus. That's a difference. This is one of only five times in scripture you see the word religion. And the Bible gives God's idea of what religion is like. James chapter 1 and verse 27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. In other words, when it comes to the phrase religion, this is what's proper in God's eyes. According to His word, this is what's proper. Not man-made ideas of religion and rules and regulations. This is God's idea of what pure and undefiled religion is. He says this, is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Wow. That's religion in God's eyes. Nie, ek gaan 16 keer 'n week kerk toe. Ek gee 90% van my geld en ek leef op die 10% van my eie. Ek het hierdie huis gebou vir die huislose. Ek het hierdie hoeveelheid klere gegee. Ek is 'n hemelbestormer. Ek doen die en daai. Ek getuig. Ek preek soos die engel Gabriel. Na-na-na-wara-wara-wara-wara-wara-wara-wara. Dit beteken net mooi... ek gaan nie sê boggerol nie, want dit is 'n vloekwoord. Yeah, apparently it is, I don't know. Dit beteken, daai beteken niks in die oor van die Here nie. And say, Oni, this Isaiah says that our best deeds before God are like filthy rags. But this stuff pleases God. Pure and undefiled religion is visiting widows and orphans in their time of trouble. And Christians, now's where we listen. Are you ready? Keeping oneself unspotted from the world. I'm going to say it in another way. The gospel according to Mozzie from the 11th chapter of the book of Imaginations. That means when the world looks at you, hulle sal moet kan onderskei tussen jou en die wêreld. They must see a difference. They must see a difference. That's what it means, keeping oneself unspotted from the world. They can't look at me trying to be so much like my buddies in the world that they don't know. Well, is this a child of God or isn't he? Because hy gedra hom nes soos 'n mugu. They must see the difference. And in God's eyes, church, this is pure and undefiled religion. Taking care of widows and orphans in a time of trouble and keeping oneself unspotted from the world. You say, my mozzie, yeah, man. Hoe doen ek dit? Because Jesus has just said that I'm in the world. Yes, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. I said, you're not of the world. You're not of the world. You're part of a heavenly kingdom. You're part of a different government system. You're part of a different health system. You're part of a different financial system. You're part of a different moral system, a different social order, a different social structure. You're part of the kingdom of God, whose mandate, whose constitution, whose bylaws is contained between Genesis and maps, and that's what we live by. And we can be at that place when we give the Holy Spirit chance to enable us to do that. Because ek weet nie van julle nie, I can't. And I like to think that I'm kind of like a disciplined individual, bordering on like wacko. When it comes to my commitment, if I tackle something, I do it flat out or not at all. But that discipline counts for nothing. I don't have the staying power to stick with Jesus. I don't have the staying power to stick with Jesus. Only Jesus can keep me close to Him, church. Only Jesus can keep me close to Him. Not my willpower, my dedication, my commitment, nothing. I don't have the staying power to stick with Jesus. Jesus is the one and only the one that can keep me close to Him. And here's the thing. It says, keep oneself pure and unspotted from the world. The NLT says this. It's beautiful. It says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. That's it. That's why Jesus prays this prayer in John 17 and verse 11. He says, Father, keep them. In your name, Father, keep them. Because He knew what was coming. He knew that we'd be alive in 2024. He knew that we'd be alive in this world where there's so much moral decay. It is sickening. He knew, and He prays for us. And I want to encourage you with that this morning, church. If you go here this morning and remember nothing, please remember this. Take encouragement from this, that Jesus has prayed for you. In fact, Jesus is praying for you right now. In Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, the Bible says that He ever lives to make intercession. He's interceding for us. He's praying that we make it. He's our biggest cheerleader, I respectfully say, in heaven. Because He knows we can do it. He knows what He's put in us to enable us to live a life of victory. Jesus prays for our protection against the constant presence of sin while we're in the world and while He's preparing a place for us. And I'm going to close with this. Jesus is preparing a place for us, Annie. But Moni, He's also preparing us for a place. You think about that. He's preparing a place for us, but He's also preparing us for a place. When they questioned Him about the kingdom of heaven, He said, "The kingdom of heaven is amongst you." And we know that according to Romans 14 and verse 17, the kingdom of heaven is not a case of eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, Him Himself, the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. And God wants us here and now, Robert, Rodney, because He wants us here and now to experience His kingdom come and His will be done. And we can walk in lasting victory, set free from the bondages and the entrapment of the power, the presence, and the consequence of sin. Because Jesus has prayed for us. I'm done preaching. Church, you're victorious. My brother, my sister, you're all conquering in Christ Jesus. You don't have the power to overcome sin, its presence, or its consequences, or its power. But Jesus in you does. Jesus in you does. Would you dare to give the Holy Spirit a chance to radically transform your life this morning? If you're in a place where you've got chains in your head, in your mind, your thought life, a habit, bitterness, unforgiveness, lust, doubt, fear, whatever you want to call it, if you've got those chains in your life and you want to be set free from that this morning, I want you to pray with me right there where you're seated. And just get real with God. Just be honest with the Father this morning. as we pray together and seek your face, I'll lead us in a prayer, but you just be real with God and pray your own words from your heart. You don't have to quote scripture. God knows already what you're thinking now before you even open your blabber mouth. He knows already. He knows. As we pray this morning together and say, God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, the lover of our souls, our Daddy God, the great I Am, the Ancient of Days, God Almighty, the holiest of holies, the one who's above all, you've given us Jesus. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our Redeemer, our Justifier. Jesus, the lover of our soul. Jesus, you've paid a price so that I can live in victory here and now. You haven't given me a bunch of rules and regulations that's too difficult to live by. Jesus, you've made it easy for me. You've said that I must simply come to you and give you a chance. You said that I must simply come to you and lay my burdens down and my yoke, which keeps me oppressed, and the heaviness and the weightiness of life. And I do that this morning, Jesus. I come and I lay this all down at your feet. Jesus, my life is bound with chains. I'm a slave to the presence and the power of sin in so many areas of my life. And I want to be free, Lord. I want to be free. I want to be permanently free. Not just for a little while. I don't just want to have this feeling of being, ooh, dis lekker vir oggend in die teenwoordigheid van die Here. I want to walk in lasting victory. Jesus, you promised that the one who you sets free is free indeed, that I'll forever be free, Lord. And I want to experience that in my life. And you've given me your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask you in Jesus' name, set me free this morning in Jesus' name. And right there where you're seated within yourself, I want you to make a godly proclamation of faith against the enemy of your soul. And in your own words or word for word with me, it's up to you. You say, Satan, I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to remind you that God's word teaches me that greater is Jesus who lives in me than you that's in the world. I want to remind you that Jesus has said that once he has set me free, you will never keep me in bondage again. I want to remind you that God has said that the God of peace will soon crush you underneath my feet and his feet. I want to declare to you that Jesus Christ has uttered on the cross, it is finished, Satan. And I want to tell you that your dominion over my life, your authority over my life, and your influence over my life, it is finished now in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, Satan, you might remind me of my failures and my past, but I want to remind you of your future in the name of Jesus. And your future is that you're going to be cast into hell forever. You and all your muchis and muchus and all your lying demonic spirits and all those who work with you, you're going to be cast into hell forever. You're going to be there for 1,000 years. You're going to be brought out and we're going to look at you and scheme, are you the one that has messed us up? And guess what, Satan? Your future is that you're going to be put back there forever and ever again in the name of Jesus. Satan, that's your future. And Satan, I want to tell you, my future is the future that God has for me. My future has his plans that are going to come to pass. God's plans for me are to prosper me, to give me a future of hope, a good future, and not a bad future. And I want to tell you, Satan, that when I stumble, when I fall, my God, the living God who made you also, will be there to pick me up and to dust me off and to encourage me and pat me on my back and say, go for it, my child. I've got this. And we make this declaration of faith this morning, Lord, over our lives in the name of Jesus. Not in arrogance over the enemy, Lord God, but just in the knowledge of the truth that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and confess the Lordship of Jesus, including the things that have plagued us and troubled us. And together we pray this corporately as we close. As I say, Lord, thank you that I walk in lasting victory. As I leave this place this morning, I'm indeed set free. And I can be free to live the life that you have called me to live. In Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Church, thank you for making the time to